We have myself, Alderman Molczewski, we have Alderman Peterson, Alderman Koch, and Alderman Frieders via Zoom, as well as staff and our lovely minute taker, Marlos. And I think we have Alderman Pogacar out there. So I don't see that we have any citizens that are Zooming in with us. So do you see?
Nope.
Any citizens' comments? Okay. We have minutes for correction and approval from March 3rd, 2020. Any comments or questions or anything on the corrections? We're all good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's accept them as presented. New business, EDC 2020-27, the building permit reports for February, March, April, and May of 2020.
Me and Pete's absence. Overall, we're on par with the average permits issued in the same month over the past 4 years. February, we had 12 issued in 2020. The four-year average is 13. March, we had 16 in 2020. The four-year average is 21, but there was an anomaly in 2018 where we did 24 townhomes. April 15, we issued in 2020. Four-year average is 15, and then May we issued 16, the four-year average is 18.
Okay, any comments or questions on the building reports?
Nope.
Okay, everybody's good with that. Let's go on to EDC 2020-28, the building inspection reports for February, March, April, and May of 2020.
Again, we're averaging about 320 inspections a month. Most inspections lately have been conducted in-house, so we've due to COVID, we've lessened the outsourcing to BNF. We're holding steady, and we hope to keep that down this coming up months.
Okay. Any comments or questions on the building inspection report?
Nope.
Okay. Let's go on to EDC 2020-29, the property maintenance report reports for February, March, April, and May.
So you'll see that we have February and March. February, we had 7 property maintenance go to adjudication. In March, we had 5. In April and May, we don't have a report because due to COVID, we weren't doing heavy enforcement of property maintenance issues. But we have picked back up in May with grass and weed notices, so you'll see a report next month.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Christy, I had one. I had talked to Pete. There's a house on Houston Street. It's been, I think it's his third or fourth summer that it's vacant. So we know it's not getting the grass cut. And it got posted, you know, had the stick in that. How long from when it gets posted does it take it to get over to Public Works for them to be notified to cut the grass? Because the grass got, it was up to my waist. You couldn't walk down the sidewalk and had thistles going. So I was just curious, like, how does the process work? Can you just make quick rhythm?
Yeah, so we've added one additional step to the process. So there's a door hanger notice, and then we usually give about 24, 48 hours, and there's the posting. And then after the posting, you have 5 days to cut. We'll come back and reinspect. If it hasn't been reinspected, then we issue the citation. And with the citation, you have a hearing date, which is usually 30 to 45 days from that posting.
Okay.
And then whatever the judgment is, then we move forward from there. But we keep going back to the site, even if we've issued a citation, to see if compliance has been met.
Okay, so we're looking, it could easily go 2 months before it gets cut.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. I was just curious what the process was. Thank you.
If we knew that it was confirmed vacant, we might be able to mow it a little bit sooner, but it would be at our own risk. So we wouldn't be able to recoup those costs potentially.
Yeah, I want to say this is about the third summer, and we've been mowing it every summer. There's nobody in it.
Okay.
So.
Is that the ones on the list? Was that one on the list, Jackie?
You know, I was looking, I'm trying to remember what their address is. It's Houston's.
So there's one for a vehicle, but
I think that's the neighbor.
Okay.
Maybe that's parking up on the lawn. I don't know.
You might see it coming next month on the list because the weed notices start May 1.
Okay. Yeah, and it did just get cut in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It finally, Eric let me know. Well, I might go by there, it's cut. And the problem is, if and I don't know how it is in other neighborhoods, but it gets to be so high. Now, this time, whoever cut it did a really good job. They raked it or mulched it. A lot of times they cut it, and it's so high, then they leave it lay there, and then it just reeks. You know, if it's like hay laying there. So, you know, it's not good for the other neighbors. So that's why I was just curious. So anybody else got to have anything for property maintenance? All right, we're good. Let's go to EDC 2020-30, the economic development reports for March, April, May, and June. Oh, we have.
Okay, I had to unmute myself. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I was like, so, I don't see you on my screen, yes. So I'm sorry. I didn't know you were there.
Okay. So, you know, I kind of broke it up a little differently during this period. And, you know, I kind of put COVID separate from new development because there's so much going on with COVID. And actually reported on 2 months together because it was all a big blur. That was the nightmare of the Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program. So, but the good news ultimately is that everything that was being worked on prior to COVID is moving forward. Whether it be space being leased in a shopping center or the new construction of any building, the closing on properties in industrial parks, and you know the redo of Belladonna to Mandrake, everything has continued on, maybe a little bit longer than original anticipation date, but really not that much off of what people had originally were hoping for. So I think that's really great. And actually the past couple of days, weeks, or a week or so, as we kind of moved into phase four, have been really busy and lots of calls, lots of things kind of brewing already. So I think everybody's excited to get back to the drawing board. So I think those are all very encouraging things. Important things to remember, Gas and Wash is going to be opening probably around July 17th. That's a big project. So that's a really very important thing. And Raging Waves. I mean, Raging Waves opening, announcing now that July 11th is going to be their opening day. I do believe that that's their public opening day. They may have a day before that they're open to season pass holders. I'm not sure how they're working that, but the 11th is the big day for them, July 11th.
Okay, so does anybody have any comments or questions?
Joel has his hand.
Do we know, have any of these downstate grants actually been issued?
So Aaron is now, we collected, then Aaron finished everything off and then sent everything off to the state. And Aaron, I'll let you answer that one.
Sure. We submitted, and right as we submitted, the state announced the first round of applicants. And good news, bad news. Bad news, none of them were in that announcement. However, the good news is that they hadn't even received ours to look through them yet. So, we still have not heard from the state on if any of ours are getting funding that we submitted for. So we continue to update the ones that have submitted and just let them know we are still waiting to hear back from the state. But hopefully no news is good news at this point, and that we will hear shortly.
And yesterday I sent out emails to everybody that was in round one, just letting them know that, you know, just to let them know that we care and that, you know, we're still waiting. You know, we know that they've received their applications, but we don't have any words. The folks from the state told me that the team that was being put together to review the applications were working on multiple different programs. So, you know, they might be working on this program and then they might switch gears and work on another program. Today, the 7th, was the final day to apply for the big program, the BIG. And we had a bunch of businesses in Yorkville that applied for that. They were salons and barbershops, fitness centers, and restaurants that were not open for outside seating. So, and I know that many of our businesses took advantage of that and heard back from them. So, but that is a lottery. So that if they submitted everything correctly, then they will. But the good news is that they'll know within the month that they are hoping to announce in August who got those.
And then do we know if those recipients of the first wave, if they've actually gotten their loans yet?
So I've heard from a couple of different towns that they have received the funding. However, some of the towns, not all of them, all of the businesses that were submitted for were selected to receive the grants. So there is also a an appeal process that the city may go through if we choose to do so after we even receive them back. But the ones that I've heard from a handful of towns that have received them, they've already received the funding to pass along.
All right, so what's the likelihood that we did all that work and it's gonna be too little, too late, and half the businesses that applied for it don't get any funding? Because it seems like there's this lag that we rush to do all this work, and the state kind of goes, all right, we'll get to it, and then we wait 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and now we are 3 months into a pandemic, and the businesses that have been closed that aren't reopened yet still aren't reopened yet, yet they have to use those grant dollars to pay for salaries. But haven't most of those people already gone out and found new jobs? It just, from my perspective, as a city who advocated for these businesses, we kind of, stick our neck out for them, made an arrangement with the county, did all these things administratively, kicked a whole bunch of butt to make sure that they, all that information was communicated to them. But if in the off chance a business that receives the yes and they get the grant funds, if they are already decided to no longer reopen, what is the process? What's our process in that situation?
Good questions, all good questions. I don't think we've thought that far ahead yet.
I don't think the state has either. I'm just curious if
we have. But we can certainly work on that and get back to you. I think that is a very good question, and we can certainly put our heads together and get something back out there for you.
All right, because the thing that I worry the most about, being a small business owner myself and being involved in a bunch of other small businesses, is that you can't not pay your bills while because everybody else isn't paying their bills, but if you want to remain open, you kind of have to dig deep, meaning that some of these people might not only be out of a business, but also out of a home. So I think we need to kind of come up with a process for evaluating what does happen if that happens. I mean, not spend too much time on it, but say, okay, well, what are our options here? Because obviously they can't pay the loan back, but if that's the difference between them being able to stay in their home and not, where are we at as far as being humanitarians for a business that received a loan, which they're not in business anymore? So just, I know I'm throwing some pickles at the wall and seeing who wins, but that's just something that I think about because I'm watching friends' businesses shut down. I just wanted to make sure that was at least brought up. And then there was one other thing. Oh, as far as Raging Waves, their capacity announcement, did they say that they're doing is it 25% or 50%, or what's their capacity?
They are allowed to be at 50% for phase four, 50%. Okay. But then they have masks and social distancing and lots of other things.
And reservations, yeah. I was looking at some of that stuff.
Capacity number, touch-free food, so people order on an app. There's no eating. It gets, somehow they get delivered. I don't know what the process is, but okay. I know that the food ordering is all touch-free on an app on someone's phone. So.
All right, last question. We have no enforcement capability to make sure that people are adhering to social distancing, masking, and all the other stuff, right? So it's just like on your honor type thing?
So the state has asked us to enforce it. I know that there's been some question among the police chiefs and state's attorneys, really throughout the state, as to, what happens if we arrest somebody, or issue them a ticket. The state has looked to us for local enforcement, but in turn we've kind of just went with an educational route, and I know that the police chief has deferred to the local health department because they have some additional authority to shut down food service establishments and stuff if people aren't following the regulations.
So the health department doesn't necessarily have the ability to shut down a water park. Nobody does, right?
The Illinois Department of Public Health does. I mean, there's pool permits, and there is a food component to what they do. So, whether that would extrapolate to the entire park is a different story. I know that the state is, monitoring what pools and water parks are doing very closely.
Okay. And then last and final horrible question that I hope to never ask again in my entire life. What happens if we jump into phase four with both feet, that's a pool pun, and then are forced back into phase two, as far as how these small businesses, especially, even though Raging Waves is huge, geographically, what do we do if and or when we go back into phase two for these businesses? Is there an enforcement capability that we have then, or how does that work?
I think that that's all going to be dictated by the state. So, you know, that's a hypothetical to say, you know, maybe it's phase two, but with certain provisions of phase three or four. I mean, it'll just be something that we have to address when it, if and when it gets there.
All right. Godspeed.
Anybody else have anything on the reports? Okay, we're good. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go on to 5 EDC 2020-31. 1907 West Veterans Parkway, CMP Properties, a repeal of a variance.
All right. So this is actually a staff request. I'll go over, we're at looking to repeal a variance on a piece of property. I'll go over the history of the property a little bit, and then the request itself. It's located, and it was originally a different address. Right now it's 1907 West Veterans, so for clarity, that's what we're going to call it. It's property located on the west side of town, north of Fox Hill, north side of Veterans Parkway, just east of Eldemain Road. It consists of a residential structure, a house, and a pole barn. The parcel was originally annexed into the city in 2003 and was zoned B3 as a printing business, was using both buildings as a business, so it was permitted. In 2006, CMP Properties bought the property and rented both structures out for a business in the B3 district, but were unsuccessful and it remained vacant for 2 years. So both buildings were vacant in the B3 for 2 years. In 2008, they started getting interest from residents, people that would want to use the house to live in and maybe run a home business out of the pole barn. But since it was more than 12 months vacant, it needed to conform to the code. Legally non-conforming structures are allowed, such as if you have a duplex in a single family, and it was established before the zoning ordinance, you get to stay there unless you change or are vacant for more than a year. Since this property was vacant for more than a year, it had to be a permitted B3 use. You weren't allowed to be a resident. So in 2008, they requested a variance from that part of the code, and they succeeded and gave 48 months to use it as a residence. Then in 2012, when that time limit was coming up, they asked for an additional 8 years, which was also granted in 2012. In April, we got a call from the property owner saying, hey, it's coming up in 2020. Do I need to go through this process again? I don't even know how long. You know, the overall goal is to always be a business here. It's just that to stay viable, if somebody wants to rent it, I want to keep using it for what, you know, it's being used for. Staff took this into consideration. We looked it over with our city attorney. Since we established a new zoning ordinance and a zoning ordinance update in 2014, it established a new timeline of legally non-conforming structures. It established this as, since it was being used for a residence, it established it as a legally non-conformity in 2014. So it is our understanding it is now legally non-conforming. A variance is no longer needed for a time frame. So what staff is recommending is that we repeal the 2012 ordinance for two reasons. One, it's just a cleanup. It avoids confusion on what's allowed on the property and what's not. And two, it officially states that this is legally non-conforming, also clearing up any confusion. So it allows this property owner not to have to keep coming back, making up timelines to see maybe by this time it'll be a business. So he wants to keep it B3 because it's always wants to eventually have that be commercial. So we are just requesting that we repeal this 2012 ordinance. The 2008 ordinance is not necessary to repeal as that time has already expired. And at that point, this is just historical. So this does not need to go to Planning and Zoning Commission. This would go straight to City Council. It says in your memo June, but that was because this was supposed to go to last month's EDC. So it would go to the second July meeting for City Council. If you guys have any questions, I hope I explained that pretty well, but feel free to ask me questions if you I did not.
So any comments or questions? We're okay sending this on to City Council?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. So should we drive the mayor nuts and put it on the consent agenda?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Hey, okay. he'll take it off, but try it. Let's go on to six, EDC 2020-32, Urban Chickens. Thank you, Alderman Funkhauser, for bringing this forward. It's always been fun to talk about chickens.
Anytime.
So there is a nice memo in the packet from the last time we had this discussion in 2012 from our administrative intern at the time, who's got survey data from what towns had allowed at the time, and minutes from the subsequent meeting where it was discussed by the City Council and chose not to move it forward. So in general, our city code prohibits poultry. So chickens as pets are allowed as long as you don't keep them for, you know, food or egg purposes, which is what most people want chickens for. And the last time we chose not to move this forward, the reasoning from the City Council was that there were enough properties in unincorporated Yorkville throughout the immediate area where somebody could go and buy a house and raise chickens at that they didn't want to have to deal with it in city limits. So that's all I know about the topic, and happy to take any questions or direction from the council.
Anybody got any comments or criticisms or about urban chickens?
I don't know if it's considered criticisms, but I'm a little disappointed that Bart didn't have at least one chicken pun at the ready. if you guys remember when beekeeping was coming forward both times, there were puns aplenty. So I'm a little disappointed. And we have nothing to look forward to. And here we are missing a golden opportunity. So from my perspective, as you know, the one of the token hippies on the Yorkville City Council, I was partially excited to see it on the agenda, yet I haven't, like, and I know that maybe Alderman Funkhauser has received inquiries about when can we, you know, see this happen in Yorkville. I have not seen any until someone asked about it on a page where I was recently called the Antichrist. So I didn't put much weight behind the comments around there, because they were just asking where we are in the process or how do we go about doing it. But in doing my, you know, little research around town and mainly the internet, it doesn't seem like we at this present moment really have the ability to focus on adding chickens as something that we're going to have permitted. Number one, looking at how the beekeeping ordinance was drafted and understanding there's a lot to do with, you know, with the bees, it had more to do with the size of your lot and, you know, how many maximum hives we would keep on the property and how many licenses overall. It just feels strange to license chickens, but that doesn't mean it's not something, you know, or permit chickens, however you want to put it. But from my perspective, I have a whole bunch of reasons why not to get involved with chickens, mainly because there's not a lot of properties I think that would be suitable for having chickens. And those that have the room are probably already unincorporated. But there's like three main things that I'm kind of concerned with. One is Pete is not going to be a chicken inspector, right? Is that what we're doing? He's not even here. And we're going to go, hey, Pete, you're our chicken guy. That's what we do with Pete.
That's usually how people get labeled as the chicken inspector when they don't show up to meetings. So if the boot fits.
No, but like we would have to basically educate and then pay a person to inspect chickens, correct?
Well, I mean, it depends on whatever the regulations are. I mean, if you license them and put in provisions on distancing and all these other standards, then yes, theoretically somebody would have to do that. But, you know, and I haven't dove into the topic, so I don't know if most towns just permit it outright and just say chickens are fine, or if they have more stringent requirements, but I mean theoretically, sure.
All right, so my concern is the same concern that some people had about, you know, we were talking about permitting beekeeping is, what do you do when you have somebody who's not taking care of their hives? Or in this case, what do you do with somebody who's not taking care of their frickin' chickens? And I don't know if we actually have a mechanism that wouldn't put us on the hook for not only educating ourselves on who is and isn't. I'm trying to come up with these chicken puns off the cuff, and it's just not working, Bart, so I apologize. But if we don't have a means with which to evaluate whether or not someone is or isn't maintaining their chicken coop or mistreating an animal, it almost seems like we're saying, all right, well, there's two people in a town of 19,000 that want chickens. We're going to, you know, take their advice and let it become a permitted use, and then we'll take it from there. I don't want to act like that anymore. That was the old Joel. I think from my perspective, knowing that emotional support chickens are permitted in the United City of Yorkville is it's a good baseline to work with. So seeing that Alderman Funkhauser brought this forward to EDC, I would propose this. Let's put out a public call to action asking for input on who would want to have chickens in their backyard and why, and then what they think the regulations should be. Because from my standpoint, still there's two people that might want these, and they might live in houses that have yards that are incredibly too small. So making sure that we're not just saying, no chickens. I say we say, all right, we're gonna come back to this in October, and then September. We'll come back in September, and if any resident has contacted us about chickens, we will then have the entire fall and winter and portions of the spring to make a chicken plan.
Anybody else want to?
No.
Yes, Ken?
No. After growing up on a farm with 80,000 chickens, I can tell you, you left out one other key factor that not necessarily when they're peaked, you can't tell a rooster from a hen. So someone may end up with the rooster waking everybody up at 4 or 5 in the morning. On the poultry farm, we don't allow roosters. We don't. There's no roosters, it's all hens. You don't want a rooster in with 30,000 hens.
Yeah, no.
He'd have fun.
Just to let you know. Yeah, he would have fun. No, they're in cages, though, too.
Yeah, I was once in the theater. I know how that is. Yeah, like, those are my concerns. Like, those are the little things that we would need more education on. And just going through a packet from a couple of years ago, I don't think it's a good decision to make yay or nay at the moment. Just knowing that emotional support chickens are, you know, allowed in the city limits. But I think we need to actually have input from the residents who want them to be able to make a decision, because this isn't something that makes much sense at the moment. There are bigger chickens to fry at this moment, so I'd rather kind of focus on what we can do to help the small businesses in town and make sure that we're following the guidelines from the CDC and people that are smarter than us, as opposed to trying to pass a chicken ordinance without actually having any reason to pass a chicken ordinance.
And I forwarded it on to Bart, but this afternoon I did get a email from a resident in my ward who is very much against chickens. So maybe if it was out there, we'd hear from more people who don't want the neighbor to have chickens.
Yeah, I only got an email that said that she was in flavor of chickens.
Same here, I've seen that email.
Me too. Sorry, at 5:08 p.m.
Yep.
So. I'll take a crack at it if you guys don't mind.
Got one!
Joel, I think you've hatched a good plan here, Joel. So, I've received 4 emails to date on this about people in favor of it. So, I do want to consider this. I appreciate where you're at on trying to be responsible breeders on this one, but we also can't not do what we need to do as elected officials. So when somebody brings something, I do want to discuss it. I don't want to just table it. Our meetings have been pretty short lately. We're being pretty dang efficient with these meetings. So I think we might have time, as long as staff has time, to look into something like this. I think if we do the community outreach and then we come up with another meeting following to analyze some information, maybe staff could pull some ordinances from other communities that have and haven't worked. I think that would be kind of a good place, because candidly, I don't know how much space we should be allowing. Do they need to be fenced yards? All that kind of stuff. I mean, we could get into a lot of rules and restrictions and make it absolutely burdensome to where nobody wants them. But I think maybe there is a happy medium. There are people that want them, but they're going to be people who absolutely don't want them around. And I, right next to my office, there is someone who has a rooster, and we hear it throughout the day. It's not permitted.
Every morning I go on to work, you're the rooster.
Yeah. It's not permitted in Oswego, but nobody has gone to deal with the rooster yet. So we will potentially have those issues. So I would like us to at least consider it, discuss it. Yeah, I like the idea of getting some more community feedback. Like, I'll forward the emails that I have received, but there's just four of them saying, yeah, we're in favor of it. I haven't received anybody against it, but Jackie did receive one that was against. I'm sure we're going to get them, however we do it. So, Bart, I know you guys have some methods of doing surveys and soliciting input from the public. I think that would be a good way to go, and we can approach it from that angle and see what happens.
So, essentially, you agree with everything I said, but you would have said it differently. Got it.
Excellent.
Well, I like your approach there, Joel. I'd like to find out more.
I just got an email from someone. The same woman that sent us the email around 508, she just said she was in favor, so I asked why. Like, what are the reasons why you support it? She's a former agricultural educator, so this is something that I'm going to forward to Christy. Because this is actual information as opposed to like 8-year-old stuff that doesn't really pertain to what's going on right now. So it's not like I don't want to discuss it. I just don't. Nobody's ever asked me, hey, I want a chicken until today. So that's why I want to get some information, do some research, and then come back with it.
I
think you may find that there are some people that have them already.
Those are we might already have an active chicken inspector, but...
Well, I do like that back in these minutes, I did comment there was a fine line between a pet and a farm animal. Mm-hmm. So I think if we go ahead with chickens, then we can let potbelly pigs in, because I would like one of them. And I have a big yard. I could put a pig in my yard.
Does anybody know any municipalities that do allow it now? I want to say Sandwich maybe does.
Plainfield.
Downers allows it.
Downers Grove.
Yeah.
Naperville's on the list. Yeah, the list that do is in there. So there's some of them that do.
Does Oswego allow it, Chris? Because Mike was saying he's got a neighbor who has.
Oswego says no specific ordinance.
Okay.
Do they then have noise ordinances attached to that, or how does that work?
It varies. Actually, the APA, the American Planning Association, has guidelines that communities can adopt and model ordinances that you can tailor. It has everything to do with fencing, to noise, to odor. There's an odor component as well. It can get very regulatory if you want it, or it can be very loose.
Well, and I think of like people... Yeah, your chicken gets out. Now, if a chicken gets in my yard, I'm going to have at least two dogs try to eat it.
Yep.
How does that regulate it? Like, oh, well, gee, your chicken was in my yard. I can't help my dog bit its head off. So that's why I've always kind of been against it, because it's, to me, such a big thing to control if you think about it. If people aren't going to be responsible chicken owners.
You bring up a good point, though, about the dogs. I mean, I know in Whispering Meadows, we've got a boatload of coyotes towards the back of the hood, towards the train tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The people with the little dogs, like, I got a big dog, so I'm a little bit okay, but that doesn't mean a coyote still couldn't take out my pup. So if you're going to be adding dinner in your backyard, what are the security requirements that, you are responsible for? But then this would also, this is some one of those things where, yeah, we could permit it, but it would basically rule out most subdivisions because the HOA bylaws would supersede those?
Yeah.
Why are you shaking your head slightly, Bart? You don't think that's possible? Or you think that you could? Where are you going with this?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I think we talked about bringing it back. My only request would be that if we're going to bring this up at another meeting, we maybe do a 2-month, schedule instead of a 1-month schedule.
Yeah, that's what I recommend.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay, take a month to gather information, and then the following month, bring it back. 2 months. Yeah.
Everybody's okay with that? Let's get some more information, take a look at it again.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, we're going to wing it.
There you go.
All right. We have no old business. Do we have any additional business?
I have one item.
Yes.
Riding downtown stuff, I've noticed the Wood property, Nicholson property, things seem to be moving past the fence line. Is there, how do you tell where the line is from the street that's ours and the fence line? There's things in between that now, I noticed. And Jackie probably knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't truck or logs or something coming over the curbside, too?
How about two trailer?
Yeah, I mean, we have we have access to GIS systems and property boundaries. And, you know, I know that we've cited people in the past, not just this property, for using public property. So it's something that we'll forward along to the inspector to make sure they take a look at.
Okay.
Yeah, check out Mill Street.
Yep.
Is that where you're? Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yes, Joel?
And then I just had a question because I had someone in my neighborhood kind of send me a nasty note regarding the fact that the governor's stay at home, or however you want to describe his order, past 30 days wasn't lawful or whatever like that. And then he had made a comment about how that should apply to the fact that we're not having meetings in person. So that would mean that our allowance to be able to have these digital meetings instead of doing things in person would basically be multiple violations of Open Meetings Act and stuff like that. Have we received any word regarding what that lawsuit does to anything that has currently already happened in the last 3.5 months? Or does that impact anything going forward? I know it's not EDC specific, but it's something that was just brought to my attention rather verbally.
Yeah, I think that there's some question as to whether it applies to anything that's going on outside of the county or the circuit court district that it was in. And I know that that's what the ruling was a part of, and that the Attorney General and Governor have stated that, you know, they're reviewing it and, you know, that they intend to appeal it. Attorney Orr has opined that, you know, it doesn't change anything up here for Kendall County at this time, but obviously that's all depending on you know, whatever the governor and the attorney general come to as far as next actions.
Thank you.
And I've got one thing for Christy. I kind of talked to Pete, and it's also kind of a police matter. But there's a house, they've been on gotten warnings, their vehicles. They park, what do you do with a vehicle that parks over the public sidewalk and then leaks oil all over the sidewalk? Is there anything that we can cite them for that? I mean, they ruined our public sidewalk.
Yeah, so under property maintenance code, there's leaking of any material that can go into the groundwater. That could be a citation. Do you have, if you want to give me an address later, I can have somebody go out and
okay. Yeah, I talked to Pete about it too, and I had talked to the chief about checking, you know, because it is illegal to park over the sidewalk. So,
the police has been totally enforcing that.
Totally trashed the sidewalk. Yeah, so it's kind of a two-way enforcement. So, but I can send you the address.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, anybody have anything else? Okay. Good meeting. It's 6:39, and everybody ready to adjourn?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody stay well, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.